Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
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 Hi, we have some workmen outside of our window, which we have to go out and ask them not to make noise so we don't make noise in the background.
Here's a question. Is this a live or is it a tape?
No, we're taping live to tape. In other words, we're taping as if we were live.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll be doing four segments, couple of them about 11 minutes long, the other about 8 or 9 minutes long, and in between the segments we stop, give a time for the recording to put in the commercials and the ads, and in between Adrian will talk to you, and before we start Adrian will talk to you and do a little briefing.
Oh, so it is, okay, yeah.
So it'll once we start taping, it'll run about 45 minutes.
Okay.
So, hang on. She's out there talking to the workers now to try to make sure that's quiet.
No worries.
Okay. Here are coming up the steps now.
So should we mute if we don't talk?
Hello.
Hello.
How are you? Hi, thank you for being on. I am very good. I just want to get some quick information and then we'll go on, all right? First of all, can you tell me what title you want to use? Hold on.
Bay, go ahead.
either way, you can call me Bay or Dr. Wu, whichever you prefer.
I'm sorry, I just got interrupted. Say that one more time.
Or you can either call my first name Bay, or you can call me Dr. Wu, whichever you prefer.
Right, and what's your title at the university?
I'm a professor in global health at Raleigh Myers College of Nursing at NYU, and also co-director of NYU Aging Incubator.
Right. And now I know we have a second guest. Same thing for you. What is your title?
So you can call me Josh or you can call me Dr. Chodosh. And I am a professor of medicine and population health and director of the Friedman Center on Aging and Cognitive Health.
Okay.
And I'm also a co-director of the Aging Incubator.
Right. Now, when I have two people on, it's very simple. I get an idea of what your place is in the incubator, and I ask questions that way, and I make it easy for you because I'll say, Dr. Wu or Dr. Chodosh, what do you think of this? So you know who I'm talking to, okay? So for you, Dr. Wu, what is the type of thing that you most concentrate on? when it comes to
well,
aging?
Well, I do. Oh, you mean in terms of aging incubator?
Yes,
or my,
as a co-director.
As a solicitor?
First, as a co-director of aging incubator.
Well, I work with two other co-directors trying to actually promote aging-related research and education across campus and basically promote interdisciplinary collaboration.
Very good. And Dr. Chodesh?
It's almost identically the same. The incubator is a startup, and as such, we are doing everything possible to bring the issue of aging to light across the NYU campus in any way, shape, or form that we think is most expedient, pragmatic, and opportunistic at the moment.
Okay, good. So I actually have enough because I've got a million questions. I just wanted to set the stage. And Stuart might have told you that we have a little music. I introduce the two of you. I'll start with Dr. Chodesh so that you'll say pretty much what you just said to me when I asked that same question. And then I'll go on to Dr. Wu, which your first question, Dr. Wu, is going to be, how's it working? How are they, how's the response? All right? So you be prepared for that one. After that, it'll be pretty much like we're doing now, just back and forth. The only thing you have
Can I ask you a question? So are you saying that you're, just like you did now, are you going offline and then telling us what you're going to ask and then doing it? Or are we just going to be... It's going to be... Okay, and then we're going to just fly through it. Okay.
Yeah, because the first two questions sometimes it's good to make you... but what I will happen is this. It's four short segments. So at the end of each segment, there's a little music, which Stuart might have told you. And then at that point, I wrap up the segment. And what happens is we're off the air for a few minutes. So I'll tell you what I'd like to cover in the next segment, and we'll do the same thing at the beginning of each segment. So you'll have, like, your first question for each segment, okay, from now on. But within the segments, it's going to be free-flowing. Is that good?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay.
And if you hear music at the end of our segment and you're in the middle of a sentence, just be quiet, finish your sentence, because they're going to throw it to a commercial. And you'll get cut off if you don't stop. So if you just finish, and I may have to cut you off. That's fine. But if you happen to be talking and there's music, I will know when the music is coming on. So I usually wrap you up before then. But if it happens to be that you hear some music, just finish your sentence and I'll continue. I'll toss to the commercial. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Stuart, we are ready. We're ready to rock and roll. You want to come in for 1 second? Stu? Come in for 1 second? We're good then. All right, now we're going to have about 20 seconds of silence while he puts everything together.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, 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 and this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Fountain of Truth about what? Well, the Fountain of Truth about aging, the only syndicated radio show on that very heated topic. I had the opportunity to do a seminar yesterday and asked folks at this seminar, very, very intelligent professionals, how many had heard of the Washington Conference on Aging. Not one hand went up. I wasn't surprised. It happens every 10 years, and it sets the policy on Social Security, on any legislation that has to do with aging, and it's never in the news. Everything else is in the news, but it's never in the news. That's why we try to shine a light, even something so important as legislation on Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Nobody hears about it. They hear about it here. Now, there are two people that are guests today on our show. Dr. Bei Wu, Dr. Josh Chodesh, who is trying to get everybody to hear about aging. And they're starting in their little incubator, not such a little incubator, but New York University, to see if they can create an interdisciplinary buzz about factors of aging. And maybe it's the only way to go. Maybe if we continue to looking at aging in a silo, it's why we won't look at it at all. But when we understand the breadth and the depth of this topic, which we've been doing for 4 years here, we begin to understand that it certainly touches everybody individually and personally, but from the point of view of the professions, it also touches everyone. And maybe for the first time we have a look at this and an insight into what real thinkers and leaders in the field are doing. So I'm going to start with you, Dr. Chodesh, and thank you first so much for being here.
Thank you.
And, you know, when we were talking before, I asked you, well, what is your place in all this? And, of course, you are a co-director of the Aging Incubator, and we're going to ask you first what that is. Dr. Wu is also a co-director. We'll be speaking with her in a moment. What is the Aging Incubator, and what is it trying to accomplish?
So the Aging Incubator, I think the best way to think about it is it's really a startup. That's the way we like to think about that in the most positive sense of the word, which means in a sense that it tries to be maximally creative, entrepreneurial in nature, and to really look for the greatest opportunities at the moment and react and respond to that to try to achieve a place across the NYU campus where things that are anything that is related to aging can happen, can become more visible and can grow. And that really means all things that are important to NYU, most notably research and education. And so that we strive to bring people together across the university who have an interest in this area, which often can be quite diverse. But in doing so, I think we find new arenas for discussion around a number of issues that are related to aging in general.
Now, Dr. Chodesh, you are a professor of medicine and population health, and that probably doesn't surprise anybody, somebody who's in medicine. Population health is going to look at aging. But what would you say from the interdisciplinary point of view was the most unique discipline that you're trying to bring together that responded to the issue of aging as an interdisciplinary pursuit?
Sure. Well, that's pretty easy, and that would be the arts. And our Tisch School at NYU has been incredibly responsive and excited about finding a platform for this issue, and we've been engaging individual people within that school whose work touches on the aging topic in many different ways that can intersect with family, it can intersect with memory, it can intersect with culture, but all the things that you might think about that are relevant to aging certainly have a place in the area of the arts.
Now, I'm going to morph over to Dr. Wu for a moment, but I'll give you a little plug here. My daughter, Rose Bachner, proud graduate of Tisch, and is, some of my listeners know, is the casting director for a very popular TV show called This Is Us. And that particular show is a show about aging. It starts with a family young, and then it has to portray those same actors as they grow older. And I'll tell you, it's not an easy task artistically to express creativity and show the images of aging. And I'm hoping that the incubator is going to have people really think about this seriously. So, Dr. Wu, we talked about, with Dr. Chodesh, this effort that you're making to bring aging into an interdisciplinary arena. He's telling us that art and, of course, medicine would be part of this. You are a professor of global health. Is it working? Is there a buzz that's going on because of this? He's saying that it is so at Tisch. any buzz at in the business sections. I'm assuming it's pretty hot when it comes to the medicine and bio, but how is the response of the faculty, the students, when you say, hey, we're going to do an incubator on aging?
Well, we're certainly working on this because if you look at the size of population increase, this is a worldwide phenomenon. So, and actually aging means business, right? So,
yeah, we certainly think so here.
Right. So, of course, at the present time, not so many people from business sectors, from law professionals, they may not particularly think this way. But this is something we're working towards in raising the awareness and the visibility of the aging incubator. And think about that their clients, the future clients, this is going to affect their business as well. It certainly creates a lot of opportunities. But this is a kind of a process that will not happen at one night. So it can be a long process. But if you see that people, your clients, the changing demographics in the nation, and around the globe, that you eventually will realize this.
You know, I'm a financial gerontologist, and I work in the world of investing. And just now, just recently, there are first-time ETFs and mutual funds that only invest in stocks that will benefit from worldwide aging. And this is a new phenomenon just in the past year. So I think in many, many ways it's catching on, but as we said, there's a silo effect. Now, I know there's a contest coming up, Dr. Chodesh. We have about 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes. Explain this contest, which intrigued me. It was my first understanding that you had an incubator because you're doing a contest, and I'd like to hear a little bit about that and how the students are responding.
Sure. So are you referring to the image contest?
Yes, the image contest.
So we've had a few, you know, just to mention briefly, you know, we had an Innovation in Aging Award, which was across the campus where people could come together needing to be involved in more representing more than one school or institute to come up with an idea. And that is still, that's in process now. We have one group from that are graduate students that are working on a particular area, and along those lines we're also collaborating with NYU's eLab, which is an entrepreneurship lab that works with students who have interesting ideas. Very often these are applications or apps. Sometimes they're devices. So those are things that we're doing. But I think the award you're referring to, which is the image competition, is an opportunity for students across the campus to present an image that will be judged by a panel that conveys some concept, some idea, could be something very new, could be something that's not new at all, that's compelling. And you know, it's an art competition in a sense. So there's obviously this has some subjectivity to it in terms of the review criteria. But we've had I don't know to date actually. We've been away recently, so we have a meeting this afternoon. I'm sure I'll hear, but I think there have been a number of submissions to this as well, as there were a number of submissions from various entities across the NYU campus for the original Innovators Award.
Well, this is wonderful.
So the interest is certainly growing.
We're going to take a little bit of a break. We'll come back. I want to talk about that concept of image. I mean, this is our mantra here. We have something on our website, which is generationboldradio.com, folks. So if you have an interest to hear a guest, if you have an interest in the topic, go there. But if you go there, you'll also hear something called the Aging Police. And that is when we blow the whistle on different companies, ads, and so on, that are putting the image of aging in a negative way. Well, can we fix that? We'll hear from Dr. Wu and Dr. Chodesh about that.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate. for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, now you see how it goes, right?
Yeah.
So we're
I didn't hear the last
that.
Part of that because of the music, yeah.
It's okay. Well, they will. What happens at the end of it is that I talk over the music to toss it to the next segment. And what I actually said was that we, if you go to our website, you see something called the Aging Police, where we blow the whistle on different ads and different movies, you know, different things in the media that portray aging in a negative way. And can we fix it, was what I said at the end. Are we able to fix this image of aging? So that's my segue to what I want to talk about in this next segment, because this is a contest about images of aging, and what I'm hearing from you, am I right, that it will be visual, graphic images of aging? Like maybe
yeah.
Photographs.
Faye, do you have anything more to say about that?
Yes, actually, we really trying to think about is the positive and to portray this the wisdom, aging with grace, these kind of information. Yeah.
Great. So we're going to go back right now, and I'm going to start with you, Dr. Wu. Okay. And I'm going to ask that question. And by the way, because I don't like to ask a question, I definitely don't know the answer. Have you seen any of the submissions yet?
No, we have not.
No,
so you don't know
not.
What they're going to come up with.
No,
okay.
We don't.
Very good. All right, well, we're gonna talk about that. All right, Stuart, we're ready. Sure.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
He's inappropriate for his age. Now, you know, that's our little ditty that we have here at Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. My name is Adrienne Berg, and for those of you who don't already know, this is really your show. If you go to GenerationBold.com, GenerationBoldRadio.com, you can hear the show on your on any mobile device anywhere in the world. You can hear our wonderful guests, many of them who come from everywhere, England, Australia, China, Japan. We've had so many people because, as Dr. Wu, who I will reintroduce to you in a moment, said, aging is a worldwide phenomenon. And it's your show, so if you have a guest, a topic, a book that you'd like reviewed or promoted here, let us know. And if you're just one of our many listeners with a big question and you don't know who to turn to, we have a lot of resources on aging that will support you. And please remember that aging starts at 30. We have a doctor here, so maybe I should be so. We'll ask him in a minute. But it doesn't start at 65. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to do only with people of a certain age. So this is a show for everyone, because if you're not aging, you know where you are. You're not listening to this show, I'll tell you that much. Everyone is aging. Now, one of the problems with aging, and why I have to say this, why I have to make a pitch for everyone to care about aging, is the images of aging are very difficult to face. Media creates the image, and the image they create is one of either foolishness or decline, or poverty, or ridicule. Why? I don't know, because they're doing this to themselves. Hopefully they're aging as well. Dr. Wu, who is a professor of global health at NYU, co-director of the Aging Incubator, Dr. Chodesh, professor of medicine and population health, and he's also, I will talk to him about this in a minute, director of the Friedman Center on Aging and Cognitive Health. They have a campaign going. They have an idea. And maybe with this interdisciplinary view of aging being channeled through NYU, we will be able to change the image. So let's talk to Dr. Wu about this. You sounded very passionate to me when we had our break as to what you felt you would like to generate. in the new images of aging. Can you tell us about that?
Well, think about this is aging images. This is very much socially constructed and culturally constructed. And the people, certainly in this country, in the United States, the culture is very much oriented towards youth. So that's why actually they have quite a negative portrayal of aging. But in different countries, certainly people see this can be somewhat different. So we need to actually change the culture in that. That's what we think about. Well, aging is a natural process. Aging comes, it's a long lifelong process. And we certainly see aging represents wisdom. Aging is a natural, it's that we need to celebrate aging because this is basically it's a achievement that we have made so far. This is that how we can live with that with longevity. So this is something that brings a lot of wisdom, brings a lot of positive things, aspects.
You know, I'm going to put this to you a little bit differently because I'm angry about it. You sound a lot more rational, Dr. Wu. I'm really angry about it, and I'll tell you why. You're absolutely right. This is a cultural phenomenon. The way we look at aging is a cultural phenomenon. And
mm-hmm.
if you go to and see French films, and you see Jean Moreau, the great late Jean Moreau, or if you go to British films with Helen Mirren, you're going to see some very sexy women in very sexy settings with no issue of their aging. Now here, if heaven forbid you happen to be over 70 and you look good, what do they say? You look good for your age. Not you look good and stop the sentence right there, it would be fine. Why is that? I mean, it's so different culturally, and I don't get why that has occurred. Has there any insight through the incubator or through your studies as to why there is such diversity in image?
Well, certainly, actually, if you think about in this society, we very much emphasize on productivity. Right? So think about
yes.
if people, they're tired, well, they're not generating anything. So they're not productive anymore. So in this case, we're so much focused on activity, productivity, right? So if you retire at this point, so you basically link to, well, you're basically useless, right? So you don't generate, you don't contribute to society anymore. So that's kind of, I think it's certainly partially due to that perspective.
Yeah, I'm going to ask this of Dr. Chodesh. I think that's right. And it's another source of frustration for me because I see a lot of people in my practice, financial gerontology, who are retiring. And I ask them what they plan to do, and they look at me blankly. And they really should be all fired up, and they're not fired up. And there is something about that stereotype that Dr. Wu mentioned that has a grain of truth to it, where we're ready to coast. Now, at the Friedman Center, you're dealing with a lot of things. You're dealing with aging. You're dealing with cognitive health. Are we getting cognitively healthier? I mean, can we contribute? Or should we simply say, you know what, we weren't born in the technology age. We can't learn. And we kind of make ourselves redundant.
Well, you know, in fact, in many ways, we are becoming more healthier cognitively. And you know, we have a tendency, particularly in this culture, to focus on the negative. And part of this is born out of fear. Part of this is born out of a sense of fear about loss of independence. And I think part of this is certainly tied up into our culture in the United States, which is, you know, fiercely committed to independence, and I think in some false notions about what that really means. That also means separation from family. You know, your goal as a teenager is to get out of the house and to get as far away from your parents as possible in one stereotypic way. But there are other families where that doesn't happen, and in fact, your goal is to grow and be acknowledged and loved and feel the pride that your parents have for your accomplishments. You know, and I actually was very, very fortunate to grow up in a family just
like that. We're going to have a moment and take a little bit of a break. We come back. I want to continue this conversation. And then, Dr. Chodesh, I want to also ask you about some of those innovations that the other contest dealt with and what came out of that. So we have plenty to talk about. For those of you who don't know the show, this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, and the only syndicated show on aging in the United States of America. Can you believe it? We'll be right back. Don't you go anywhere.
That doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, so now we're off again, and we're going to reset the clock.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead, Dr. Wu.
I would just say one thing. I'm not sure going to the innovations is a very terribly good topic.
Okay.
I think this is a very new thing for us, and we did get a lot of submissions. I think that we got a few that were pretty good. We have one that is cruising along. I'm not sure that we should really talk about that on the radio right now.
Okay.
Do you agree, Ben?
I agree. Actually, we can say more about actually contribution and interdependence.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Some of my studies 20 years ago actually produced quite a positive kind of images of this. But because we are actually academia, that we may not produce, we may not actually distribute our findings very well in a way.
Yeah.
So that's actually, we can say a lot about this.
Right. And I also think, along with what Bea is saying, that what you started to ask me deserves a better answer, because if you really want to talk about how people improve, well, two things. One is that if I tell you that 50% of people over the age of 85 have some form of dementia or cognitive impairment, that means 50% don't. And we focused on the 50% that do, number one. Number two is that there are many people well into their 80s and sometimes 90s that are still engaged in the work world and engaged in quite successful ways, and that more and more companies are recognizing that they're having a brain drain when people retire early, even at the age of 70, because they've lost all that institutional knowledge and wisdom.
Perfect.
So I think that's important to get across.
We're going to do that. That's going to be our first question, and that's for you. We're going to continue that. And Dr. Wu, you talked about a report that you had created that dealt with image, and that it was improving.
Oh yeah,
And could I ask you that as the second question? Can I throw?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Good. So that's what we're going to do, Stuart. We are ready. Yes, we are.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
One of the things that I am very, very concerned about, and if you go to our website, generationboldradio.com, you will see the aging police. And what the aging police does is it blows the whistle on negative images of aging. You know, for those of you who have been listening to the show for 4 years, you know that we have many, many types of guests that look at aging from the medical point of view, psychological point of view, housing point of view, creativity point of view. But many of those people are steeped in their one individual silo. They all come up with the same ideas of how to become an area where you could thrive as you age, And those ideas are usually fairly similar, but they come up with it independently, within their own silo. We're very pleased today to have with us two guests that are trying to change that, the way that we think and how we go through the process of thinking of aging. Dr. Bei Wu, who is a professor of global health, co-director of Aging Incubator over at New York University. Dr. Josh Chodosh, who is a professor of medicine and population health, but also he's the director of the Friedman Center on Aging and Cognitive Health. So they are trying to create a buzz throughout the university, and right now they actually have a contest on the images of aging. And we pieced this out in our first couple of segments, and I felt that Dr. Wu really made an insight for me that I have not had before, as much as I've thought about aging. And that is why the images of aging are so negative. And she said, very correctly, I think, it really struck a chord, because we are a society that prizes productivity, is her word, it's perfect, we don't see people who are older as productive. They don't work anymore and so on. And I threw that over to Dr. Chodosh, who, to the question of, is it true? Are we unproductive? Are we cognitively unable to contribute to society? And he began to tell us before we had our break. And I really want to hear this, because I'm very optimistic. I'm the poster girl for aging, but I want to be realistic too. Otherwise, we're not the fountain of truth. So, Dr. Chodosh, what's the skinny on this? Those people who see us as negatively droning the economy, are they right? Are they wrong?
You know, in general, they're wrong. And in fact, we read statistics, we see these reports, and unfortunately, what makes news is often what's negative, not what's positive. And if I give you a statistic that might say that 50% of people who are 85 years and older have some form of cognitive impairment, that means that 50% don't. And even in my own practice, I have many patients that are well into their 80s and even their 90s who are still productive in the way that Dr. Wu was talking about. There are certainly many other ways that people are productive that we don't talk about. But these are people that are still working. They're still contributing in that way. We don't talk about the way people contribute in other ways that are incredibly important that may not be in the workforce. But I think what happens is that some smart companies are starting to realize that when people retire at the age of 65 or 70, that they're actually having a brain drain, that these are people that have institutional knowledge. And we know from cognitive studies that one of the areas in which people improve cognitively as they age is in the area of wisdom and decision making. Part of that is borne out through experience, but there may be some other things that are operating there as well. So we're left with sort of kicking out some of our best, our smartest, our best decision makers who have the benefit of personal histories that they can literally bring to the table when important decisions need to be made. So that's an area that I don't think we've really focused on.
We haven't. I do a lot of work and a lot of interviews. We talk about crystallized intelligence. We talk about fluid intelligence. And we try to explain to the public that crystallized intelligence actually does improve with age because we have more neurological patterns. We have more experience, as you say. We can decide better. We may seem to be slower in our decision making, but that's because it's more deliberative. We may be a little slower in uptake of learning, and that's a matter of individual ability. But it's a very hard concept to get through, that you can actually have greater cognitive strengths as you age. I gave a little shout-out to my daughter. I'm going to give one to my father-in-law. He passed away last week, and he's the poster boy, Dr. Chodosh, of what you're talking about. He passed away at 94, and starting at age 90, he began to lecture at colleges and high schools on World War II. And it
was
a hit. Last time I went to see him, there was 114 kids. Several of them, he told me, hugged him. One he thought was really cute, but that's another story. And he was a sergeant major. His name is Marvin Bachner. You can see YouTubes of him doing the lecturing. And he was also commissioned by the United States government to do some of that lecturing. Because he was the commanding officer when the first concentration camp was discovered and liberated. with Eisenhower, Patton, and Montgomery. So it's quite a story, and he told it, and he didn't start to tell it until he was 90 years old. So there you go. Now, Dr. Wu, you gave me a little bit of hope. You told me that you had done some research and a study a while ago where you thought maybe the images of aging were improving. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Right. Like, even just think about, when we think about older adults, we think about dependents. But in reality, that the percentage of older adults who are actually really totally dependent is a very, very small percentage of the population. Even 20 years ago, when I was in Boston, we did a study at the University of Massachusetts Boston. We actually sampled, we surveyed more than 1,000 individuals age 85 and above. Think about 20 years ago, okay? So we actually, the findings we found, actually is quite, there's a majority of these individuals are so much, were very much engaged in community. They provide volunteer work to some community organizations. They drive other people to churches and to go shopping. They provide support, both actually physical and emotional support to their loved ones, to their children. And they provided a huge amount of caregiving to other people, to their spouse and to their other family members. Now, let's look at actually caregiving. Caregiving is, we don't connect caregiving with actually economic, socioeconomic values. But there's a tremendous amount of caregiving actually are provided by older adults. And these actually, if you think about economic values, it's huge. We're talking about billions and billions of dollars. So these are kind of activities. So it's really actually, give us a much more comprehensive, a complete view of aging. Because we're talking about those age 85 and above. They were very much engaged in society. They provide a lot of care to other people also. So that's something different from what this society portrayed about aging.
You know, it's so true. In my former life, I was a practicing lawyer, and it was elder law, but we would often get matrimonial issues. And those were the days when people would not value being an at-home mother and wife. And we started a business of evaluation. How much was your work worth, even though you didn't get dollars for it? What would happen if you had to hire the babysitter, the cleaner, the laundress, and the driver, and so on? And it was hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And it stuck. Eventually, matrimonial law changed, and the value of the at-home wife and mother became clear. Well, this is exactly what you're saying about the value now of the grandparent. The grandparent.
Oh, yes. That's exactly what I'm going to say next. Yes. Sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Right. And the grandparents raising grandchildren, I have done actually quite a few research projects in China. Grandparents raising grandchildren is so common in China.
That may be why that particular culture prizes aging and calls older folks national treasures. When we come back, I want to get ourselves a little bit more global. We'll take a little bit of a break. I want to go back, Dr. Wu, with that issue. I happen to have been able to be privileged to visit the first gerontology program at the University of Beijing. And I want to talk about that because it's so different. We'll be right back.
I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
Okay. So I do want to talk about that. You know, I mentioned France and England in their view of women, but I didn't mention the fact that particularly China and Japan have a whole other view of aging. And as I understand it, it's because of the dependency on the other way, where the younger people are depending on the older people for caregiving.
Right.
But you'll straighten me out about that, okay? Hold on a second. And because this is the last segment, I do want to go, Dr. Chodesh, is there a point that you would like to bring out on anything here? And I will ask you that question because I don't want to leave out anything you think is important.
I think the thing that's interesting for what we're doing, which listeners might want to hear, is that we are ourselves interdisciplinary in nature, and because we are not, we are specifically not a center. We sit directly under the office of the provost, and in doing so, it enables us to be something for anyone and everyone across the NYU campus, and to have opportunities to partner with the city of New York and the state of New York.
And Dr. Wu, I know that we're going to start with that, the question of how the culture developed a little bit in Asia, but is there a different topic at all that you want to make sure we cover?
No.
Okay, good. Because, you know, time is short and we have plenty to say here. Okay.
Yeah, I think
the global
perspective is great.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, and I am so enjoying my conversation with Dr. Wu, New York University Professor of Global Health, Co-Director of Aging Incubator, Dr. Chodesh, Professor of Medicine and Population Health, also Co-Director at Aging Incubator and Director of Friedman Center on Aging and Cognitive Health. And if I had 10 hours, I couldn't give you their whole resume. It would not be enough time. Then I got lost in the fact that this is our last segment, so I have two really big things that we want to talk about, and we're going to start with the biggest, Dr. Wu, and that is international aging and global aspects of aging, and it happens to be the AARP committee that I sit on, and that is the issue of international aging, and it's fascinating. So give us a thought on why it is so different in Asian countries and China in particular.
Well, I think actually this is a different culture in Western, kind of quote-unquote Western society, that we are so much emphasis on independence. But in Asian countries that traditionally have been focused on interdependence, generation interdependence, okay? So that's actually, for example, that's why you think about in Asian countries, and particularly in China, this grandparents raising grandchildren becomes so common. So when they, so grandparents can raise grandchildren, then you leave this middle generation, the notion is they can be actually more, they can more focus on their own work and in the career development. So that's what the whole kind of the family, a lot of intergenerational connectivity. So it's connected to each other. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it shows in every way. You know, my work, a lot of my work is in design, or what's called environments for aging, and consulting with different groups that are designing for aging. And then my other part of it is how do the people pay for it. So I was fascinated by the hutongs. I'm probably saying it wrong, in Beijing, which were purpose-built housing. Yeah, very old. They're ripping them down now because they're so old, building the high-rises, you know. Now nobody will talk to each other. But what they were supposed to be and were places for intergenerational housing. It would be unthought of to go and separate a family, but we don't have that. We don't have that at all, and it's part of our caregiving issues. So now, when I'll toss this back to Dr. Chodesh, you're trying to change that, and you're trying to change it, as you say, by not being a center, but by being interdisciplinary yourself. Can you explain that a little bit to the folks who may not realize the structure of academia?
Sure. Well, you know, centers are certainly interdisciplinary, and my center is an very much interdisciplinary center. But I think centers typically sit within schools and within departments, and by virtue of just that, barriers are created, meaning people from the outside don't necessarily feel like or have find ways to work their way in or to become part of that. And because the aging incubator does not sit within a specific school, and because all the co-directors, including Dr. Ravies, who could not be on this call as our third co-director, we all come from different disciplines and have different interests. And because we sit directly under the office of the provost, we really are able then to relate across the entire NYU campus, and hopefully over time continue to add schools and institutes and colleges under the NYU umbrella, both here as well as on other NYU campuses. NYU is a global institution, and creates, I think, some very important collaborations that probably have not occurred before. Collaborations between the arts and engineering, between healthcare and business and law. I mean, if you just let your mind wander, you can, it's really limitless possibilities. So that's something that we are particularly excited about.
And I'm very excited to see what the students will come up with images of aging. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm a little frightened, too. I really don't know where they'll be coming from and what they think is positive, because it's a little bit will go a long way, but I wonder. And Dr. Wu, what's your anticipation? You're going to have a meeting this afternoon about it. You think you're going to see a lot of submissions? Give us a clue as to what you expect to happen.
I think we're going to see a variety of of the products, and certainly I'm pretty confident that we'll see a lot of positive images of aging.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
I would just add, rather than thinking about, well, we're really going to achieve positive images of aging, certainly I think we will. I think, though, the other thing that we're trying to foster is a discussion, because we can't get to that place until we call out some of these issues so that they're right in front of us, they're on the table, and we can talk about them in hopefully some very meaningful and change-producing ways.
Well, can I also jump in for a second?
Yes, go ahead.
Right. I think actually it is also create opportunities for people actually to talk to each other and for students to understand more about their parents' their grandparents' generation. Because a lot of things that I think that we missed is because they don't know much about this generation. So to create opportunity to interact with each other, that actually can understand each other. So then
And I think that that's wonderful, and I wish I could continue the conversation. I can't believe that we're at the end of it. And I can't explain to the audience how much I feel that this is the beginning of something big. If we change our images of aging, we change our images of ourselves, we change our life pace, we change what we think we can accomplish for the future and our contribution. We increase business, as Dr. Wu says, no question about it. We increase our willingness to have better cognitive health and our own self-care. So this is major, and we're going to have, I hope we'll have our third co-director on one day, and the two of you again as soon as we see what some of those images are, if you can share it with us. And for everybody else, get out there, kids, and make it happen. Perfect timing. Okay, so you see how the show goes?
Yep.
I hope that you got out some of the things you wanted to say.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Yes.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you.
Fascinating. And then I'd like to know how I can continue, because I certainly want to have more of these conversations on the air. I want to promote this, the winner or the contest or any way that you think is useful. We have a nice website. I really would like to contribute to this, because there's not much media that's just devoted to this.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, we'd be happy to. I think over time, we should just probably, I think the best way to do that is for you to stay in touch with Louise.
Okay, will do.
Right,
and
yes.
I will do that. And is there an end time to the contest where you'll be selecting?
I forget.
Yeah,
in the fall?
Yes,
the fall.
That would be actually in September. That we actually has a deadline in September.
Now, when you do that, when you have, we'll call it a winner, is it okay to promote that? And to have that image shown on the website, or is that going to be something just in-house?
Good question. I don't.
Yeah.
We can. We'll ask. We don't. I don't know. I mean,
right.
I don't. I don't think. Go ahead, Bay.
Yeah, this is a good question. So we will certainly have a discussion on this, and certainly that it would be good to promote our work, right?
Right.
But
I would doubt there's any.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think we would there's any restriction, but we certainly need to have a discussion about it.
Sure. Well, I thank you both very much, and I'm going to continue to speak to Louise, because she'll have different topics that I think will be very useful for the show, and that will be terrific. It is going to be archived so that anybody can hear it on the website, and anybody can hear it live on their mobile device or on the website 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And then those states that have the show itself on their broadcast radio, they usually air it Saturday night and Sunday, and all that information is on the website. But you will be by Wednesday on the front of our blog and our internet sites and all those, just promoting people to go and listen to the archive. So it kind of generates listenership over time as well, right? And you can use it any way you want. If you want to take it off, we'll send you a link. You can put it on any media that you would like to use it for. It just belongs to you as much as it belongs to me.
Okay.
Sounds great. I have to run. Thank you very much.
And have a wonderful meeting. Take care.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, you can hang up. Okay.